Let's take our Bibles and turn to the book of Philippians. Philippians chapter number one. For the last couple of Sundays, we've been preaching on Psalms. And I almost thought we were going to be in Psalms 1 this morning, but the Lord's changed our thought. And I just want to try to be obedient to Him. Amen. And Philippians chapter number 1. Are you glad you're in the house of the Lord this morning?
Amen.
Amen. Several years ago, I'd have to look back on the sea, probably about 2010, 2009, we preached through the book of Philippians here at the church. Actually, I think we just preached and just got about the third chapter and just kind of just got grounded up there and then left on off into something else. But, you know, in chapter number 1, verse number 6, it says, being confident of this very thing, he which had begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. I'm glad that he started a good work in me. As a little seven-year-old boy in Rutledge Chapel Baptist Church, I walked down an aisle, Brother Allen, and the Lord Jesus Christ saved my soul, and he started a good work in me that day. And he's going to fulfill that work, amen? And when we preached on that, we preached about this thought, God is still interested in working on me. And that's in my conversion, amen? Salvation. And then look at verse number 12. But I would... You should understand, brethren, that the things which happened to me have fallen out rather to the furtherance of the gospel. And we preached on God is still interested in working around me. Yeah. That's in my circumstances. What a world he has to work in, amen?
Yeah.
I think there's a lot of things going on in this land today, and God's got a lot of things he wants to do and a lot of things that need to be done. And he's got a world to work in. But then look at verse number 27. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. And we preach on this thought, God is still interested in working through me, for me to contend for the faith, amen? And what a wonder. You say, what do you mean, what a wonder? What a wonder that God would use us. That God would allow you and I, amen, to contend for the faith. That God would allow you and I to stand for the truth. And this morning I want to preach on this thought. How do you and I stand for the faith of the gospel? Now in the text, now in chapter number 1, we notice there is a natural text in it. Verse number 6, verse number 5. It says, for your fellowship of the gospel from the first day until now. We see the fellowship of the gospel. In verse number 12, we see the furtherance of the gospel, which we just read to you. And then in verse number 27 that we read, we see the faith of the gospel. And that's a natural outline given in the book of Philippians chapter number 1. Now, Paul's writing this from prison. Amen. This is one of our prison epistles. He's writing it from prison. And he says some things about the fellowship of the gospel. He says some things about the furtherance of the gospel. And he says some things about the faith of the gospel. Now he has an aim. Look at verse number 20. Here's his aim. According to my earnest expectation and my hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but with all boldness as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. You know, that should be our aim in life. We should desire that God would use us, that God would use us and magnify him to others.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about that in just a second, about contending for the faith or standing for the gospel. Then verse number 21, we see Paul's assurance. He said, for me to live is Christ. For me to die is gain. Now, that's not the way the world looks at it, is it?
Yeah.
But that's why you and I as children of God should look at it. To be absent from this body, the Bible says, to be present with the Lord.
Yeah.
We can be present with him. So when we leave this world, death is just an access. Death is just a door stepping out of this temporal world into the eternal world. Boy, even though, I think we all should want to live as long as we can. If the doctor's got some medicine to make me live another year, give me the medicine. Amen. I want to live as long as the Lord. But, you know, there is an allotted time down here. Bible says it's appointed to man. There's an appointment. It's appointed man wants to die, and after this is the judgment. And so, but my life down here should be living that might magnify the Lord. One time I preached on this here, and I took a magnifying glass. Amen. And we brought that magnify, and we looked at, hey, we're to magnify. Hey, things in our life should be made bigger. Things about the Lord Jesus Christ should be made bigger in our life. Yeah. We exemplify the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So, and then we see his anticipation. Look at verse number 23. For I am in a strait between two, having a desire to part and be with Christ, which is far better. Now, Paul here is further along the line than you and I are. So we've drove our stakes down here so deep that our desire is not for the other world. Not for the after world. Our desire is for this world. And then to a degree, Brother Stringer, there's nothing wrong with that. These young folks are sitting in this building. They should have a desire. They should have a desire for a career. Amen. They have a desire. I mean, these young ladies, these young men. I remember, you know, thinking this. Hey, I don't want the Lord to come back. I want to get married. Yeah. Amen. And still, I think this. I don't want the Lord to come back because I want to see some people saved, some of my loved ones saved.
Yeah.
I still think that to the day. Amen. But I'm trying to say is, you know, there ought to be some joys in life. This morning I taught on the, you know, rejoice in the days of your youth in our Sunday school class. I taught the rejoice in the days of youth. There's a lot of things to rejoice and things for us to remember. He said, remember thy creator in the days. There's the things for you and I to remember. But one thing he said there also in Ecclesiastes chapter number 11 and verse number 9, he said, remember there's a judgment day coming. Point of man wants to die and after this is the judgment. But you and I have an anticipation that we and I are going to be in heaven forever and ever and ever. And I hope you're prepared for that day. We've already been singing about it. My name's already written on the roll. Yeah. Miss McCulley just sang about it. Hey, I want to go to heaven. There is a real place called heaven.
Amen.
And God, hey, the Bible says we're already seated there.
Yeah.
The Bible says not only are we seated in heavenly place, the Bible says we're sealed. To the day of redemption. I'm saying we're seated, we're sealed, and hey, it's already been signed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said he's paid it all. It's finished.
Amen.
Nothing you and I could do. And we're already fit subjects for heaven. We're going to get our glorified body. We're checking out of here one day.
Amen.
But that day, we don't know when that day will be. There's one thing certain about life. It's uncertain.
Yeah. Right.
We don't know. So why you and I are left here? Why we're left here? We're to contend. We're to stand for the faith of the gospel. For the faith of the gospel. In the Christian life, it's not a playground. It's a battlefield.
Right. Yeah.
God has us here for a purpose. God has us here that we might be entangled into the warfare that God would have us to be in. God allows us to be here and have breath and provisions and God's goodness and his grace and his mercy is given to us that you and I can contend, you and I can fight, you and I can stand for the faith of the gospel.
Yeah.
If I could put it like this, in the fellowship of the gospel, we're sons in the family, in the fellowship of the gospel. We're servants sharing in the furtherance of the gospel, but we're soldiers standing, defending the faith of the gospel. This morning, I want us to look at that thought, and let's go to verse number 27. I want to read these verses, and then I'll pray, and I want to preach on this thought. How do we stand for the faith of the gospel? Philippians chapter 1, verse number 27, only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. That whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. And in nothing terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation and that of God. For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake. Having the same conflict which you saw in me and now here to be in me. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, I pray, God, that in the next few minutes, you'll take your servant and you'll take your scripture and you'll take your spirit. And God, you will share the word of God to your people. God, I pray, Father, you'll use us and anoint us and fill us. Hide us behind the cross. Help us to preach the unsearchable riches of Christ. God, I pray right now, convict that soul that needs to be saved. I pray, God, you'll stir the saints of God. May we stand up for the faith of the gospel. May we be that you would have us to be. In Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said, amen. This thing about standing for the faith of the gospel. Yeah. How are we going to stand for the faith of the gospel? Well, the first thing that we see is in verse number 27. In verse number 27, it says this word conversation. Now, you and I, when we think of conversation in our day and time, we think about talking to one another. But conversation in the Word of God in this day and time was the manner of life. It was a lifestyle which you was living. It was the manner of life, the way that you was living. Can I tell you how you're not going to stand for the faith of the gospel? The very first thing is by our consistency. It's by our life. You know what God's looking for some people? He's looking for some people that will stand true for Him. He's looking for some people that will be consistent in the walk with God. If there's anything that's hurting the church today, if there's anything that's hurting the cause of Christ today, it's the unfaithfulness of the believers, of those that claim to be Christians. I'm not trying to be mean or rude, but I'm preaching the Word of God. This Bible says you and I are to be good stewards, and a good steward is found what? To be faithful. We need to be faithful. We need to be faithful about the things of God. Hey, it seems like, I don't know where we lost it, but we lost it somewhere, and that is a commitment and a compassion for the love and the things of God, and especially for the church house.
Yeah.
Amen. Now, you can tell me all you want to, you love the Lord. You can sing I Love Jesus from the choir as loud as you want to. You can tell people everywhere you go that you love Jesus. But if you don't love the church, if you don't love the church, you don't love Jesus. You said, why? Because Jesus Christ is the head of the church. He gave His blood. He gave His life for the church. Amen. Now, you said, preacher, the church is not this building. You're exactly right. The church is everybody's blood-bought, born-again believers is part of the church. But in that Bible, when it talks about churches, it most of the time, for this to fill up a place, it's talking about a local assembly.
Yeah.
I mean, a geographic area from where people gather together. Amen. For the fellowship of the gospel. For the furtherance of the gospel. For the faith of the gospel. Amen. And so that church, those are gathered together. Hey, those churches in Revelation, those seven churches that he mentioned, you know what they was? They was local assembly of people that gathered together in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said to that first church, what? That you've lost your first love. Left your first love. Amen. He talks about the needs of the other church. A community together, a church. Hey, if you don't love a church, a local body, don't tell me you love Christ. Because Christ instituted the church.
Amen.
He instituted a local assembly that would gather together to worship His name, to disciple saints, to exhort the Savior. I mean, that was His ordained plan.
Yeah.
Thank God for marriage. That was His ordained plan. And just as much as marriage is God's ordained plan, the church is God's ordained plan.
Yeah.
And you need to be a part of a church. Amen. And you need to be faithful to the house of God. Faithful to the things of God. We need people that will have a consistent life. Every believer should be consistently in their life. They should be like Christ. They should be consistent. Let's just nail it down here. Especially if you're called a deacon. Especially if you're called a Sunday school teacher. Especially if you're called a preacher. Especially if you're called an evangelist. Especially if you're called a missionary.
Amen.
You ought to be faithful.
Yeah.
Hey, I put my pants on just like every man in this building does. Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. My wife puts her dress on just like you ladies put your dress on. There's nothing special within us. But there's nothing special within us. That when God called me to preach, He didn't just put something on me, put a little thing on me, and say, oh, this guy's special, and he's just going to be wonderful, and he'll never fail, and he'll never... No, I'm flesh just like your flesh.
Yeah.
I am, if I could say, I am fleshly from the top of my head to the bottom of my feet. I am capable of failure. I'm capable of falling just as much as anybody in this building is. But for some reason, people will hold the pastor to a greater standard than they'll hold themselves. When actually I'm just a Christian, just like you're a Christian, and we're really on the same pedestal. Now, I know that there's some qualifications of a pastor put in the Word of God and the deacon put in the Word of God. But as far as my Christian life, because of my Christian living, I'm talking about the consistent Christian life. That's what I'm talking about. If you and I are going to stand for the faith of the gospel, then it's going to be in our consistency to live for the Lord day in and day out. If you had a doctor, like somebody just I think it's just happened to somebody, but somebody was telling me about it. Somebody just went to get their eye exam, and the eye doctor wasn't there. They wasn't told not to come, and they went, and they wasn't there, and they had to leave. Huh? What about that? Yeah. Now, if that happened a few times, guess what? I dare say I'd find me another what? Eye doctor.
Yeah.
Amen. If you went to the doctor and he went in, now this actually happened to me. I'm going to tell the true story here, and I'm not lying. I'm not preaching now. I'm telling the truth. I went down here to, when we first come here, the first doctor I got when I was down here, and I went to the place there, and it took a while to get back there. Somebody say amen.
Yeah.
And I really feel like that, you know, they ought to be as good as other people getting that, because my time is as important as their time. I know there's a reasonable amount of time, but I stayed there probably first time I went there, I stayed there too long. I told Deborah, I said, I don't like the office about it. I don't like that part about it, but I really like the doctor. And then went back, and the next time I stayed longer. Okay? And so that time I talked to the doctor. Finally, I got back there. And then when I got back there, it was a fall wall before he got back there. Somebody say amen. And so then I finally woke up. I go to sleep back there. Might as well do something. And so they might take me to surgery. I don't know. But anyway. So he came on in, and I said, Doctor, I said, I really like you. But I said, I don't like it. I mean, I don't have to like sitting here waiting so long on getting back here and then waiting on you. I said, now, I like you. And I was nice to him and everything. He said, I understand. He said, we got some new staff and some new people. And he said, we're trying to work all that thing out. Well, the next time I went, you asked me, because the next time I went and sat in the office. There was two other people in the office. I went and sat down. I got me a little magazine. I think I actually pulled out something and began to read off my phone or something. And I sat in there, and I looked up, and that lady got up, and she went back. That man got up, he went back. And I sat there for a while. Well, that lady came out, and that man came out, and I still just sitting there. So I got to looking, Brother Pete, I got to looking for the people behind the thing there. There wasn't nobody back there. So I called my wife. I said, honey, you did get me an appointment, right? She said, yeah, you got an appointment. I said, okay. So I hung up with her. I dial the office that I'm sitting in. I hear the phone ring. I get the answer machine in the office I'm sitting in. I walk to the desk. I'm looking all around, and the answer machine is talking to me. Of course, you can hear it. I'm hearing it on my phone. I walked out. Guess what? I don't go to that doctor anymore. I don't go there no more. Why? Because he just, you know, I wonder about you and I. When people see us that are lost, that are sinners, that are not saved, and they see our inconsistency, they see how inconsistent we are. I wonder if it makes them not want to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. I wonder what it makes to them, what it relates to them when we're unfaithful to the things of God. I'm telling you, how we're going to stand for the truth, how we're going to stand for the faith of the gospel is a consistent life. A consistent life. Philippians 3:20. Look there in Philippians 3. Just a couple pages over. Verse number 20. The Bible says, for our conversation, there it is again, is in heaven, from which also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. What is it? What is our manner of life? And then it goes on to tell us, in verse number 27, go back to verse number 27. He said, hear of your affairs. Hey, we are citizens of heaven. That's what it said, our conversation, our life. And then we are citizens of heaven. Are we walking in that kind of manner, a heavenly manner? Ephesians said, put it like this: I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord Jesus Christ, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherein the vocation wherein you are called. I wonder, are we walking worthy of the Lord? Now, I know all of us fail. I know all of us has fault. But are we striving to be consistently being a Christian that God would have us to be? Now, Ephesians chapter number 4 and verse number 2, after he said walk vocation, then he says this: with all lowliness. He gives us some example: with meekness, with long-sufferingness, with forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, even as you are called, and one hope of your calling. Hey, are we trying to strive to be what a Christian should be?
Amen.
It brings me to my second point. Not only how are we going to stand for the gospel, first of all, is by our consistency. Secondly, by our cooperation. One's by our life. The other one's going to be by our love. How we love one another. The Bible says there, you know, they're my disciples. Why? Because they're loved one for another. Amen. One for another. Look what it says here. Look at verse number 27. Striving together. Didn't say fighting. Together. Striving, working together. You know what we do? We get our word athletes from this word, striving together. We get our word athlete. You know what? Athletes normally, I know there's some individual things in athletics, but normally, a lot of times in athletics, people works as what? A team.
Yeah.
It won't be long, college football will be back. Somebody say amen. There'll be something on TV again. But anyway, a college football will be back. And what's going to happen is those teams are going to get out there, and those teams are going to work together.
Yeah.
They're going to strive to work together. Can you imagine they get over there and huddle up? Okay. Okay. This, the coach is sitting to play. Okay. We're going to call play 42. And that simply means this. That means Johnny's going to run the ball to the right side. And that means that Ray, Kevin, Luke, and whoever that guy is down there, Jeff, is going to block, and we're going to move everybody out of the right side. And we're going to score a touchdown. We're going. When they give them the ball, they don't give them the ball to get 2 yards or a yard. They give them the ball to go all the way.
Yeah.
Amen. That's what they're looking for. Amen. And so this is what we're going to do. And I can just, okay, we're doing 42, and I can just hear Jeff. But Jeff, I'm not blocking. I think we're going to run play 37. And then we have Luke over there, and Luke said, I'm tired. I've raised my hand 4 times. They still ain't took me out of this ball game. I'm not doing no more. I'm giving up. And then we see Kevin. And Kevin said, well, I don't understand it. I don't know why in the world they won't let me catch the ball. I'll just run. I'm not blocking for nobody. And then Ray says, hey, I'll block. I'll do anything. That's all I know to do, what they tell me to do. You know what we need? We need a bunch of Rays. Amen?
No, we don't.
not as Ray as you know him. We need some Rays that will do what God wants them to do. Hey, the coach is sitting to play, right? Hey, do you realize the play's been good?
Yeah.
God's gave us the plan. God's told us what we do. We're supposed to try to love people to life. That's what our theme here is, the church, loving people to life. That's our, we come in here, Jude 22, somehow compassion, making a difference. We're trying to provide love people to life. I'm wondering, are we with the game plan? Are we striving together? Can I tell you, there's some ways that we can do it. Hey, when visitors come in the house of God, you know what you need to be real friendly to them.
Yeah.
So we want people to feel welcome at the house of God.
Yeah.
But we want the Holy Ghost to convict people at the house.
Amen.
And so, and then, you know what you need to be doing? You need to be inviting others to come to the house of God. You need to be telling others about the Lord Jesus Christ. If we truly had a love, I'm talking about a cooperation, a love for people and a love for the ministry of this church. You know what we want this church to do? We want it to grow.
Yeah.
We want it to prosper. We want to do greater. I'm going to ask you a question. Okay, well, we got a missionary over here. I don't know, he's retired, but I think he's retired. But he's not. He's retired. And brother Ware over here, but he's retread. Hey, but you still have a love for missions and a love for the mission field and a love for souls. So really what a missionary is somebody that God's called to take the gospel to people that's never heard. Now, I know missionaries are in the state and they got the same purpose. I understand that. But when we look at, every one of us should have a missions heart. And the heart of this church should be to get the gospel to lost people. Now, if we have 125 people here this morning, look what we can do. But if we have 250 here in a year from now, look what we can do.
Yeah.
If we have to, and it's not about the number. It's not about growing and say, hey, look, we're a big mega church. No, it's about what more we can do for the Lord. That's why we need to be so faithful, Brother Trevor, with what God's given us right now. That's why we need to try to do the most we can do with the funds that we got, with the physical ability we've got to do. What we need to do all we can do. Why? Well, God will help us to do more. Where God will help us to do more. And you know what it's going to take? It's going to take us to be able to be a growing church and a going church, that we might be a glowing church. You know what it's going to take? It's going to take for you and I to strive together. The play has already been set. The call has already been called. I'm just the quarterback coming out here telling you to play.
Yeah.
And you're going to have to fulfill it. You're going to have to do it. Hey, the quarterback, even though he's skilled, even though in that game of football, even though he's got to be skilled, he's got to be talented, he cannot do it himself. He has to have all those working around him. It's the same thing about a pastor. It's the same thing about the church. We must all be striving together to do that which God would have us to do. Working together is one. I've got to hurry. Let me just run on here. Let me give you the last one. Look at verse number 25. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. Verse number 25. And having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy of the faith. Here's the third one and last one. How you and I can contend for the faith. We contend for the faith by our consistent life. We contend for our faith by cooperation, by loving one another. But we contend for the faith by our confidence in the Lord. See, I don't depend upon my own flesh. I don't depend on my own self. Look at verse 1, number 6. Read it to when we first started. Being confident in this very thing, he which had begun a good work. Our confidence is in what God's done for us. Our confidence is what God can do through us. I'm glad I've got confidence in salvation. But now look at verse number 29. He said, I've been given the behalf of Christ not only to believe on him, salvation. But all this second part is where we fail. But also to suffer. So I have confidence in the midst of salvation. I have confidence in the midst when things are going well. But what about when I have to go through the trials of life? When I have to go through the things that cause tears. When I have to go through the tragedies of life. When I have to go through the things of this, that there's some things, Brother Bo, we never pray about. I never pray, Lord, give me a burden today. No, we never pray about that.
Yeah.
We never pray for those things. But guess what happens? They come in our life.
Yeah.
And those burdens and those trials and those tragedies that we go through, they are stepping stones of our faith.
Yeah.
They're stepping stones of our faith. I can prove it to you. Let me just look at a verse here real quickly. I usually can quote it. But let me find it very quickly. Here it is. He said, wherein greatly rejoice, though now for seasons need be you're in heaviness through manifold temptation, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. So the trial of your faith, those trials, those tragedies, those troubles that come are a test of your faith. Can you and I, can we have joy in the midst of tears? Can we have joy in the midst of tragedies? Can we have joy in the midst of when it seems like everything around us is failing? Can we have joy? We can. If our eyes is not on self, and if our eyes is not on others, but if our eyes is on the Savior. Do you realize, church, today? And this is easy preaching, but hard living. That everything that comes into my life has to be approved by my Heavenly Father.
Yeah.
So that's hard. When things come into my life that I don't understand. When I get sick. That's hard when I lose a loved one. That's hard. It's hard living. But so I have to trust the Lord. That the Lord gave us two children and not four children. We had, Deborah's been expecting four times. We lost two children. But that's in God's hand. I don't understand why some people has to suffer so many things. And I don't believe it's because of sin in their life, preacher. I don't believe it's because, I know God does. We do suffer things sometimes because of sin. We bring things on ourselves.
Yeah.
But Job didn't bring anything on his life.
No.
And none of us has suffered like Job suffered.
Yeah.
Can you imagine losing your whole family in a day? Mm. Losing your whole livelihood in the same day. And then just very, very quickly losing your health.
Yep.
I can't imagine that. But you know what Job said? Though he slay me, yet will I trust him.
Amen.
What about that? And you know what God did for Job? He gave him a double blessing. He gave him just as many children back that he lost.
Yeah.
Amen. Blessed him with a long life. Why? I believe one reason God done it because he was faithful. He was consistent. He had a love, cooperation. And then lastly, he realized the need of being that God had him to be in that time of testing, in that time of trial, in that time of trouble, in that time. He was confident that God was still on his side.
Yeah.
Amen. He said, when he has tried me, I shall come forth as gold.
Amen.
That God was on his side. Let me give you one more. Look at verse number 30. Having the same confidence which you saw in me and now here to be in me. These spiritual battles. You know what Paul is saying? This conflict he has is why? Because he's serving God. Can you know you and I can be confident in salvation? We can be confident in suffering, and we can be confident in our serving God. Having the same conflict which you saw in me, these things you see in me, I want you to have this confidence. I want you to know that these things you see to me and are still in me, that it's fell out for the furtherance of the gospel. These things are happening for the furtherance of the gospel. It's happening that the gospel can get out further, that can go further. He said, I want to be magnified. That's a magnifying glass. But he said, I want you to get out the telescope.
Yeah.
And I want you to look down through the eons of time, and you and I can look back at the eons of time and see how God has blessed that one that is faithful in his service to God.
Yeah. Amen.
Faithful. Amen. Serving God. Can I just tell you this morning, as she's coming to the piano, we're on the winning side.
Amen.
We're on the winning side. Are you willing to contend? Are you willing to stand? Are you willing to stand for the faith of the gospel? Now what that means, while they're getting ready to sing, you know what that means? That means there's going to be some fiery trials.
Mm-hmm.
That means there's going to be some days that you're going to have to put one foot in front of the other. You don't feel like you're going to have a consistent walk with God. You're going to have to be consistent. Then that means you're going to have to love people that are unlovable. Everybody that's saved, God don't make them as sweet as sweet potato pie. Amen. Sweet potato. Daddy and I took Daddy to the VA hospital last week, and we stopped at this place to eat, and they got their sweet potatoes are really good. And so, I mean, they are just so sweet. They must have enough brown sugar to milk a cow or cover a cow with or something. I don't know. But anyway, they're just so sweet. That's what made me think about sweet potato. Everybody is not sweet. Everybody is not everybody's not bubbly and sweet and kind like me. But you realize this? Each and every one of us. Each and every one of us. We know what we got? We got to love one another. We got to strive together for the working of the gospel. The working of the gospel. That the gospel may get out. You know how the gospel's been hindered? Preacher, you know how the gospel's been hindered? Because a group of people wouldn't work together. Churches have closed down. There'll be a multitude of people in hell because they seen fighting in the church. It's not worth it.
Yeah.
It's not worth having your way. It's not worth me having my way. It's not worth it. Send people to hell. It don't matter what color the carpet is. It don't matter what the color. It don't matter what we want to do. It's not worth sending people to hell over. It's not worth it. Are you willing to stand for the gospel? With your life? With your love? Are you willing to do that? Or with the confidence in the Lord? Hey, everything's going to be fine. He's trust the Lord with all thy heart. Lean not thy understanding. All thy ways acknowledge him. He shall direct what? Thy path. Your path. How about your path? It's the path he wants to put you in. Will you yield yourself to the path that he's put you in? Will you yield yourself to the work that he's gave to you? Brother Mike's getting ready to sing. We're standing, our heads are bowed.
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much. First of all, that we have the gospel that's been delivered to us. Lord, I thank you personally that I know for sure that I'm going to heaven when I die. And Lord, I know there's many people in this room who have that same confidence. God, as we take this gospel to the world in which we live this week, may you help us to be faithful to it. May you help us to show that we love you through every circumstance of life. May you help us to be an example of truly who you'd have us to be. Lord, I pray to help the world to see that we love your house by being faithful here this evening, being faithful Wednesday night, or that people would look at us and say, there truly is someone who loves God. God, may you help us to be that this week. Give us safety as we go home this morning. Give us the safety as we come back this evening. In Jesus' name, amen.